your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Our chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're coming up with some very, very interesting insights and clips and news clips and updates this weekend. And we're going to start off with Tucker Carlson. He gives an excellent synopsis and summary of that debate that took place just recently between the president and his challenger, Joe Biden. So here we go with that.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. Did you see the debate last night? Probably did. Too bad it was the last one. We learned a lot in an hour and a half. We always do. We learned that self-control pays off. Donald Trump pulled back a little bit on stage, and he's never been better than he was last night. You could understand what he was saying, and that helped. At the same time, we learned that if you really want to wreck Joe Biden, let him talk without a script for 2 minutes. At his age, that's like the Iron Man. It wears him right out. We also learned something that we already knew. Donald Trump drives a certain sort of person completely insane. There's nothing Trump says that doesn't frighten people like this. He could recite the words from the Happy Birthday song and they would hear machine gun fire. These are highly neurotic individuals. You get the sense many of them have severe allergies and digestive problems, though of course we're only speculating about that. In any case, it happened again last night when the president tried to explain why the human smuggling of children into the United States is a bad thing. Here's what he said.
Children are brought here by coyotes and lots of bad people. Cartels, and they're brought here, and they used to use them to get into our country.
So human smugglers, coyotes, as they're often called along the border, bring children into this country illegally, sometimes without their parents. That's true, and that's what the president said. What a lot of prominent Trump haters heard was that huge feral canines were dragging children across the Sonoran Desert. And, of course, they didn't believe a word of it. Another Trump lie! His 916th today! Darshan Kendrick is an elected Democrat in the state of Georgia. She's one of her party's leaders in the state house there. And she wasn't buying it for a second. How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? She wondered on Twitter. You should know that Darshan Kendrick is an attorney and a self-described investment advisor. So you're going to want to hand your retirement portfolio to her as soon as you can. Coyotes dragging children? Lions and tigers, maybe, but coyotes? They're too small. Good point. Nothing gets past Darshan Kendrick. She's sharp. Meanwhile, a well-known student at the prestigious Harvard University near Boston had a similar objection to what the president said. He found Trump's mention of coyotes, quote, xenophobic. Why does Donald Trump never criticize American animals? Ever noticed that? It's always Mexican coyotes or Chinese pandas, but not a word about golden retrievers or Maine coon cats. So naturally, the Harvard kid was upset because at Harvard, they know racism when they see it. So that's yet another thing we learned last night. The supposedly most impressive people in our society aren't impressive at all. They're dim and they're silly and they're humorless. And on some level, they know that about themselves. That's why they're so self-righteous. It's a cover. The rest of us know it, too, which makes them angry. If you've ever wondered why the most privileged people in America often seem so mad, that's your answer. Because they're frauds, and they know we know it. But back to the debate last night. At one point, Joe Biden told us that hundreds of these children brought here by coyotes, possibly dragged, have been separated permanently from their parents by the Trump administration, which hates families. 545 children, to be exact. Now, if you believe that was true, you'd be upset about it, so you'll be happy to know it's not true. It's not even close to true. The vast majority of the parents of these children have been located by federal authorities, and they're refusing to reunite with their children. A DHS spokesperson says that in one lawsuit currently pending, the plaintiffs have been able to contact, quote, the parents of 485 children separated at the border, and yet, quote, they've yet to identify a single family that wants their child reunited with them in their country of origin. Oh, so it's more complicated than Joe Biden told us. In many cases, the parents in question are not in the United States. They're still back home at their country of origin, usually in Central America. In some cases, they've never even tried to come to the United States, and instead they set their children up with someone else, a coyote possibly, to bring them here. Now, you can say what you want about the choice to do that, but the evidence is clear. All the people howling about children in cages and family separations have no idea what they're talking about or don't care. And, of course, they have no answers to the problems they claim are plaguing their consciences. Their solution is to let anyone with a child gain immediate access to this country. What would that do? Well, we'd be flooded by millions of new people instantly. But it would, needless to say, encourage more human smuggling, a huge amount of human smuggling, which is odd since everyone pretends to be against human smuggling, but apparently not everyone is. Everyone used to pretend to be against crime, too. In the 1980s and 1990s, crime was one of the biggest issues in this country. It defined people's lives, where they lived, where they worked. It changed election results every year. Was America a more racist country back then? No, not really. There was just an awful lot of crime in the 80s and 90s. Look it up. There was a huge amount of crime, and a lot of it was driven by drugs, particularly crack cocaine. That's real. It actually happened. Ask anyone who was alive then. Joe Biden was alive then. He was a middle-aged man then. And his constituents asked him to help fix the crime problem. So just like virtually everyone else in Washington at the time, Joe Biden voted to stiffen drug penalties. That was an enormously popular thing to do in the middle of a drug epidemic and a murder epidemic that inevitably followed. It was popular with people in black neighborhoods. They were suffering the most. But now, Joe Biden, as possibly doesn't remember what happened, but it doesn't matter, now he's pretending it was all a big racist mistake. Watch.
In the 80s, we passed 100%, all 100 senators voted for it, a bill on drugs and how to deal with drugs. It was a mistake. I've been trying to change the sense, and particularly the portion on cocaine. That's why I've been arguing that, in fact, we should not send anyone to jail for a pure drug offense. They should be going into treatment across the board. That's what we should be spending money. That's why I set up drug courts, which were never funded by our Republican friends.
Now, the bill that Joe Biden just referred to passed in 1986, and it passed the United States Senate with 97 votes. He was close, not 197. That bill was co-sponsored by the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus at the time. The House approved it by a 376-vote margin. And then the Senate passed Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill, which he's also called a mistake, with an overwhelming bipartisan majority. That was a 95-4 vote, and the House approved that bill by a 40-vote margin. The majority of the Congressional Black Caucus supported it. Let's restate that. The majority of the Congressional Black Caucus supported the crime bill they're now telling us was written by the Klan. And by the way, the Republicans are saying that too, mindlessly. Joe Biden knows that these bills weren't mistakes. We don't put people in jail in this country for being black. We didn't do that in the 1980s and 90s. Sorry. People go to jail for committing crimes. Not all of our anti-crime laws are smart. Some of them are dumb. But the bill wasn't written to punish an ethnic group. It was written to control what was a very real problem, including in black neighborhoods, maybe especially. And that was drug-fueled crime. People were dying from it in big numbers in 1994. But Joe Biden no longer acknowledges that, or again, maybe he doesn't remember. Not only now is he telling us these crime bills were mistakes, now he's telling us that any law that puts any drug offender in prison is a mistake. And we're not going to have laws like that. Really? Would that include the opioid dealers who've killed hundreds of thousands of Americans in recent years? Apparently, they won't go to jail. So what's going to happen when we stop trying to punish opioid dealers and instead send them to some useless rehab program? What's the success rate in rehab programs? Does anyone ever mention that? You know anyone who's been to rehab? These people know anything? It would be nice to know before that happens what the consequences might be. But, of course, no one asked last night. Instead, we were on to the next thing, global warming. Joe Biden, you won't be surprised to learn, is against global warming. He already wears a sweater a lot of the time. He thinks it's too stuffy in here as it is. But he's not against fracking. He told us that last night. If elected, he will not ban fracking. That's always been his position. Always.
What about fracking?
All right, let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Put it on the website. The fact of the matter is he's flat lying.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
Oh, so it's a little bit more complicated. In fact, Biden would ban fracking, we guess. In fact, he'd ban all fossil fuels at some point, but not until he's elected. So calm down. He'd also pass something called the HEROES Act. What's the HEROES Act? Well, the HEROES Act exists to help people with the coronavirus. And Republicans, needless to say, are against that because they support the coronavirus. In fact, Republicans invented the coronavirus in a lab at the Villages outside Orlando. Watch Joe Biden tell you why we need the HEROES Act right now.
You are the leader of the Democratic Party. Why have you not pushed the Democrats to get a deal for the American people?
Well, I have, and they have pushed it. Look, they passed this act all the way back in the beginning of the summer. This is like it's not new. It's been out there. This HEROES Act has been sitting there.
Oh, okay, so the HEROES Act has been sitting there. You're going about your life thinking things are kind of fine. Little did you know the HEROES Act has been sitting there. And it will, in fact, continue to sit there unless Democrats win the Senate and the White House next month. That's what Joe Biden said, at which point everything will be fine. So what exactly is the HEROES Act and what does it do? We never got into that last night. We'll tell you now. Among other things, the HEROES Act would allow illegal immigrants to retroactively receive coronavirus stimulus checks. People who are here illegally would get tax dollars retroactively. The bill contains a prison break provision allowing inmates with asthma or diabetes to get out of jail. It bans voter ID laws. Of course it does. What HEROES Act wouldn't ban voter ID laws? But the bill also allows marijuana businesses and their service providers access to banking and insurance services. They're heroes too. The bill would bail out left-wing jurisdictions that had financial problems going back many decades, long before coronavirus, long before the Republicans invented it at the Villages. And, of course, the bill would allow paid political operatives to collect ballots in bundles and return them to polling stations. Ballot harvesting, but not just in California, nationally. They're heroes. The ballot harvesters are heroes, ladies and gentlemen. They're heroes. Remember them in your prayers. So consider those provisions and ask yourself, who exactly do they help? Americans who've lost their jobs because of the lockdowns? Small business owners trying to save their livelihoods? The ones Joe Biden told us, put up some plexiglass. Yeah, that works. It doesn't work, by the way, science has shown. But anyway, those people aren't the intended beneficiaries of this legislation. No. Instead, the bill helps the Democratic Party, which looks across our land and sees the destruction wrought by these lockdowns, the suicides, the depressions, the spiking overdoses, as a political opportunity for them. Last night, Joe Biden urged Americans to prepare for a dark winter. A dark winter? Be afraid, Joe Biden says. Now, be afraid has been the message of the Democratic Party for the entire year. But last night, Joe Biden made it totally explicit.
When I say we're learning to live with it, we have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a basement like Joe does. He has the ability to lock himself up. I don't know. He's obviously made a lot of money someplace. But he has this thing about living in a basement. People can't do that. People are losing their jobs. They're committing suicide. There's depression, alcohol, drugs at a level that nobody's ever seen before. There's abuse, tremendous abuse. We have to open our country. You know, I've said it often. The cure cannot be worse than the problem itself. And that's what's happening.
I mean, we're about to go into a dark winter, a dark winter. And he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year. It is, if you have a reproduction rate in a community that's above a certain level, everybody says, slow up, more social distancing, Do not open bars and do not open gymnasiums. Do not open until you get this under control.
So it's all about the, quote, reproduction rate. It's about the spread of the virus. But not every population is affected the same. If you have the spread of the virus in a nursing home where people are demonstrably vulnerable, that's a huge problem. If you have the spread of the virus among healthy 18-year-olds, it's not a problem. In fact, the flu is a bigger problem. The conventional annual influenza is a bigger problem. This virus has a 99.9% survival rate for the vast majority of Americans. The lockdowns, on the other hand, hurt everyone. The economic and psychological costs of them are in many cases irreversible. Thousands of businesses will never come back. The families that own those businesses are destroyed even as Google and Amazon get stronger. And what about our children? Students who have already spent a year away from school are now preparing to stay away from school indefinitely, and they're learning nothing. If you're a parent, you know that, but many studies have shown the same thing. And yet in Fairfax, Virginia, and other places, the teachers' unions want schools closed until at least August of 2021. Classes should be virtual until a proven vaccine is, quote, widely available. That's insanity. School children face almost no risk of death from this. That's not an exaggeration. But Joe Biden essentially endorsed that plan last night. Quote, do not open until you get this under control. What does that mean? According to Joe Biden, that's what the public health experts are saying. These are the same public health experts who say you can't go outside unless, of course, it's to attend a BLM rally or Luda Wendy's. But you must listen to them. These are the same people who told you that the riots were, in fact, not a threat to public health. They were necessary. But any demonstration against the lockdowns was a threat to public health. These are supposed to be nonpartisan institutions. Our public health infrastructure is supposed to be nonpartisan. It's become completely corrupted by partisan interests, obviously. And it's making decent people cynical. The people in charge, once again, have revealed themselves to be completely unserious. And yet they still demand that we pay attention to them. That was the theme of the night. It's the theme of the age. It was never more obvious than when Donald Trump brought up Hunter Biden's laptop and the documents on it, the ones that talk about his business dealings with foreign countries and that mention his father. A lot of it's emerged over the last week, and Trump alluded to it last night. Watch this.
If this stuff is
true about Russia, Ukraine, China, other countries, Iraq, if this is true, then he's a corrupt politician.
Right.
So don't give me the stuff about how you're this innocent baby. Joe, they're calling you a corrupt politician.
Nobody.
Hey, President Trump, I want to stay on the issue of race. We're talking about the
issue. From hell.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage. Nobody believes it except his and his good friend Rudy Giuliani.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
And that's exactly what.
Is this
that's
where you're
exactly
going?
What
this is
told.
Where he's going. The laptop
all right.
is Russia, yes.
Gentlemen,
Russia.
Gentlemen, I want to stay on the issue of race.
You
okay?
have to be kidding. Here
Mr.
we go
President,
again with Russia.
So a bunch of retired spies, not one of whom has seen the laptop or been able to assess its contents, have suggested in public recklessly and for partisan reasons that this is part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Now Joe Biden himself uses that claim, made on his behalf, again on the basis of no evidence, to bat down the question. If you're a little paranoid about maybe the CIA interfering in domestic politics, you just got a lot more paranoid, and for good reason, because they are. Meanwhile, no one on the Biden campaign has denied the authenticity of a single document because they know it's real. And there's overwhelming evidence that it's real. Hunter Biden's lawyer asked for the laptop back, and then Hunter Biden signed it over to the computer repair shop owner. There's now an on-the-record witness who was on many of the email and text message threads involving Hunter Biden confirming that it's all authentic. He just turned his phones over to federal investigators. Is he part of the Russian plot, too? This is insane. But forget all that. Russia did it. Russia! The nation you are required to hate for reasons we can't explain but that are critical to our national security. Russia! They're bad! Why do they think they're bad, by the way? We're thinking about it. But don't think about it. Listen to the CIA, America. No more attention to details. Just vote for us. It'll all be better soon.
Right before the debate the other night, Tony Bobulinski, who was a partner with Hunter, made this statement. Here we go now with that statement.
Good evening. My name is Tony Bobulinski. I served as a lieutenant in the United States Navy with high security clearance. My father and grandfather both served for decades in our country's armed forces. Since leaving the Navy, I've been involved in various successful businesses, both in this country and abroad. I'm making this statement to set the record straight about the involvement of the Biden family, Vice President Biden, his brother Jim Biden, and his son Hunter Biden, in dealings with the Chinese. I have heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden. I have also heard that Vice President Biden said on Tuesday that Senator Ron Johnson, the chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, should be ashamed for suggesting that Biden family sought to profit from their name. Well, here are the facts I know, and everything I'm saying is corroborated by emails, WhatsApp chats, agreements, documents, and other evidence. And the American people can judge for themselves. I brought, I guess, for record, three phones that spanned the years 2015 through 2018. These phones have never been held by anybody else besides myself. I was told this past Sunday by somebody who was also involved in this matter that if I went public this information, it would bury all of us, man, the Bidens included. I have no wish to bury anyone. I've never been political. The few contributions I have made have been to Democrats. But what I am is a patriot and a veteran. To protect my family name and my business reputation, I need to ensure that the true facts are out there. In late 2015, I was approached by James Gillier, whom I had known for many years, about joining him in a deal which he said would involve the Chinese state-owned enterprise, CEFC China Energy, and what he called one of the most prominent families in the United States. I was informed first by Gillier, and then by Hunter Biden, and by Rob Walker, who was working with the Bidens, that the Bidens wanted to form a new entity with CEFC, which was to invest in infrastructure, real estate, and technology in the U.S. and around the world. And the entity would initially be capitalized with $10 million and then grow to billions of dollars of investment capital. After months of discussion, I agreed at Gillier and Hunter Biden's request to become CEO of the entity to be called Sinohawk. Sino representing the Chinese side, Hawk representing Hunter Biden's brother Bo's favorite animal. And between February and May 2017, we exchanged numerous emails, documents, and WhatsApp messages concerning Sinohawk and its potential business. On May 2, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Bidens' history, the Bidens' family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gillier, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face. In fact, I was advised by Gillier and Walker that Hunter and Jim Biden were paranoid about keeping Joe Biden's involvement secret. I also had a disagreement with Hunter about the funds CFC was contributing to Sinohawk. Hunter wanted $5 million of those funds to go to himself and his family. So he wanted the funds wired directly to an entity affiliated with him. I objected because that was contrary to our written agreements concerning Sinohawk. He said, referring to the chairman, his father, that CFC was really investing in the Biden family, that he held the Trump card, and that he was the one putting his family legacy on the line. He also said to me on May 17th, 2017, that CFC wanted to be my partner, to be partner with the Bidens. During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank. And I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CFC, through July 2017, was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter. Tomorrow, I will be meeting with the Senate committee members concerning this matter, and I will be providing to the FBI the devices which contain the evidence corroborating what I have said. So I will not be taking any questions at this time.
NPR Radio is announcing they're not going to cover this latest Hunter Biden notebook because they believe that it's obstructing their ability to really cover, you know, the campaign. So they said that this is just not going to be covered by NPR. Boy, that's really cool. You know, tax money is to pay for NPR. They're not even covering one of the biggest scandals ever. Well, that's the way they are now. Public broadcast, national public radio. Well, next coming up is an interview Alex Jones had with Catherine Austin Fitz, and this is strategically lays out some very, very important points of the dynamics and the strategy that's happening. And, you know, they get into the mark of the beast and go direct, reset, and so forth. And, boy, it's really good. Here we go next with that.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, I really appreciate Catherine Austin Fitz. She's a very busy person joining us. I don't normally have a guest on a week and a half after they were on, but we only had 45 minutes with her last time, and she ended on all these great solutions and microeconomies and people facing that there is a globalist takeover that plans to make you obsolete so they can control your life. And that if you start shifting now, there's still resources, you can build other economies. She's a leading expert on that. She has her amazing magazine and publication, the Solari Report, the state of our currencies, the end of currencies, the big global move to get rid of cash, to get rid of this and what that symbolizes. And I want to speak about that next segment. But I wanted to talk to her first about the debate. Trump, the election, election fraud. People say, well, Trump's devaluing the currency. Well, globally they're doing it. I mean, I get that. At least he's trying to maintain U.S. control. I'm not lionizing him. I know he's not perfect, but I wanted to ask your real opinion. I respect it on the power structure and the factions and why the system hates Trump so much. But at certain levels, he's also driving up the stock market. What you really think the mechanism is behind that and other points you'd like to make just about the general lay of the land 10 days out. Catherine Austin Fitz at Solari.com, S-O-L-A-R-I.com. Was the president of Solari, Inc. She's managed to tens of billions, $25 billion, $300 billion in financial assets and liabilities. She graduated Pennsylvania BA, the Wharton School, and studied Mandarin Chinese at the Chinese University, Hong Kong, a bunch of other degrees and all the rest. I'm not going to go over it all. And she worked high level as the Federal Housing Commissioner in the United States Department of Housing Urban Development in the first Bush administration, and the Hamilton Security Group. So that gives you a bird's eye view on how the sausage is really made. So good to have you again, Solari.com. Where do you want to start, Catherine? And thank you.
Hi, Alex. So the presidency of the United States is not an entry-level position, and Trump went in as an entrepreneur and real estate developer with no experience in governmental process, and he really doesn't want an experience in governmental process. He wanted to change things. So it was a shock to the system, both a system that's used to process, but also a system that's become very corrupt. And if you look at all the different people who have criminal liabilities in that system, you know, they got very uncomfortable. So when you have change, you know, when an empire starts to rock and roll and change at the top, you get a lot of people who are very uncomfortable. And if you look at the criticism of Trump, you know, I would say that some is perfectly reasonable and valid, and other criticism is completely not reasonable and valid. It's just special interests trying to protect themselves. And one thing I will say for Trump, he's tried very hard to keep his promises. You notice no new wars. That's pretty unusual. And the other thing is he started to bring transparency. You know, Trump has done more to inspire real conversations than anyone. He hasn't done as much on disclosure as we'd hoped. And his record on finances, you know, we saw FASB 56 occur in 2018, which has taken the government in the wrong direction. So the, you know, the financial secrecy has skyrocketed, as it's done for every administration the last 10 administrations. So, you know, the trend continues. But
that's beautifully said. He's a guy from the outside that showed how corrupt and weak the system was, that if he's supposedly retarded and dumb and an idiot, he came in and defeated all these people. Obviously, he's not really as bad as they say or dumb as they say. It really shows their weakness that he's this big idiot and he just totally defeated them and upended them. It shows their incompetence, their overconfidence in what they've done.
Well, you know, I wouldn't describe it this way, but I think the American people are fed up and they want real change.
Yes.
And his being elected in 2016 reflects that. I've tried to understand what's going on in the ground, and it's very difficult when I'm not, you know, I'm not in the United States currently, so it's been very hard. But from what I can tell, you know, the polls describe a totally different situation than what you hear from people going to the Trump rallies or showing up for the Trump events. There's far more enthusiasm at the grassroots for Trump right now than there appears to be for the Democrats, from what I can tell. And, you know, we're just going to have to wait to see the voting. My concern is the mail-in voting is going to be operationally such a nightmare system. Now, I say that I voted by mail, and, you know, so I've already voted. But I think we're just going to have to see what happens. It was very interesting on the debate. I did not watch the whole debate, but my favorite line of what I did see is when Trump was being criticized for opening up the economy, he said, well, not everybody can afford to stay in the basement.
Exactly. That was powerful.
That was, you know, and if you see the people who are showing up for the Trump rallies, they're people who, you know, do not want the economy shut down. Now, I have to say this, and this is one of my big criticisms in 2020. Trump did allow the economies to be shut down more than they had to be. We now see global billionaires increasing their net worth 27% this year. And in some cities, as much as 50% of the small business is projected to be destroyed, shut down, or bankrupt.
That's right. You're an economist. So he went with the third way. They wanted total, complete shutdown. He said partial shutdown, but still too much. But we see Alibaba, yeah. We see Amazon, we see all of them making record profits in this. I mean, obviously, they engineered this to do it. As an economist, can you speak to that?
Well, what we're watching is centralization of the economy, and we watched basically a global debt entrapment. So you declare a whole bunch of businesses non-essential, and then you allow the insider businesses to take over their market share at the same time with very low cost of capital, you know, the Fed printing and basically directly or indirectly handing out money in a variety of ways. You know, that's a financial engineering which allows the insiders to take over the outsiders for cheap. And it's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's a RICO conspiracy.
I totally agree. You've got the floor for three minutes. What does Trump need to do then to change this? What would you do if you were president to counter this right now?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would make perfectly clear what's happening. You know, I would make it clear that to declare churches and small businesses non-essential, but liquor stores essential, or, you know, Amazon and Walmart essential, is has nothing to do with health crisis. It has to do with disaster capitalism and basically organized crime centralizing control of the economy. So the first thing he could do is bring a much more obvious and blunt transparency to what is happening.
Wow. I mean, you're a former top Bush administration official. You're saying COVID-19 is disaster capitalism. And I keep meaning to say what it is. Sure, it's real. It kills a few people. It's so, overblown. Right. Is it a scam, a fraud? No. It's disaster capitalism. You just said it.
Well, I'm saying the debt entrapment aspect is disaster capitalism. I'm not saying COVID-19. Put that aside. People are sick and dying.
Sure.
But if you look at the shutdown of the economy and the rules and regulations and the way it's been engineered.
So you're saying the response is to capitalize on that and make money off of it.
Right. And that includes the riots and the protests. If you look at the patterns of the riots and protests, looks to me, real estate acquisition. So to me, we're watching the unfolding, and this started with FASB 56 in October 2018. Since FASB 56 was approved in 2018, we're watching extraordinary centralization of the economy. And from my point of view, Trump has not done enough to stop that or bring disclosure to it.
I agree. Well, that's his biggest failing, is not busting up monopolies or big tech. He sure talked about it, but that's his biggest failing, in my view. What else is his biggest failing? What else is big?
Well, if you look at what we're up to, you have a copy of State of Our Currency right now. What I'm seeing, the central bankers agreed to the global, it's called the Going Direct Reset in August 2019. And they have proceeded on five pillars to work towards a system which Christians describe as Mark of the Beast. I would describe as, the end of currencies and essentially going to a credit on the company store, not unlike what the Chinese are doing with social credit.
Stay there. This is the biggest thing ever. Catherine Austin Fitz, a top economist, former head of a major Bush administration department. She's an expert, and she's going to lay out the real facts of what's coming next and what the whole COVID power grab is really about. Call everyone you know. That's how the show explodes. It's how we turn things around. Your action. You are the resistance. We'll be right back. Next level slavery, right out of a science fiction book. Catherine Austin Fitz, again, economist. Please continue.
Well, it's interesting because I've been warning people, as have many, about this for years. But if you go back to the first big breakthrough in communicating the fact that the bankers wanted to chip us, in fact, Alex, you get the credit for your interview with Aaron Rousseau. Do you remember that? Where Aaron described
I do. It's got tens of millions of views. How we hung out with the Rockefellers. And they said, our main goal is to have a chip, and then we control the global currency. And now that's in the patents that Bill Gates is funding.
Well, if you look at the Going Direct Reset and where those who would like very tight control want to go, there are five pillars to this thing. And we were talking about what's Trump doing. One of the most important pillars is the big pharma pillar, because what you want to do is you want to inject materials into people that allow you to literally link them up to the cloud. Think of it as downloading an operating system into our bodies. And one of my problems with Trump is, he's taken $10 billion that we could use for critical investment, critical protection of children and other people who need it. And as far as I'm concerned, wasted it as a boondoggle on big pharma for injections, which I think are going to help implement the system. Why is he doing it? Why is he using the military to do it?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest criticisms is, and I predicted it's to take control of the process from Fauci and from Gates, who were saying, it'll be 2 years till we reopen, and we've got our new vaccines. And so Trump did that to boost confidence and to take the process away.
Wait. We have really good doctors all around the country and all around the world who are talking about if you practice early intervention, there is no need for anybody to be.
I totally agree, and I think Trump's wrong.
I know you do. So, what they would say, what those doctors have said, there is no pandemic. So stop with the $10 billion for the injection. I call it the injection fraud. But, we've forgotten how much money $10 billion is. $10 billion could solve a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of problems. Okay, let me keep going. We have a constitution. The constitution is the law of the land. It's superior to any state constitution, any state laws. And that constitution says there is, the government is not superior and to control churches. You cannot have the U.S. government or state government shut down churches the way that this has happened. Where has Trump been on this? Because
no,
I'll tell
I agree.
You,
there is no jurisdiction as the federal and state courts are ruling. So it's all just color of law. It's all intimidation.
Right. But remember, that's extraordinary intimidation to shut down the economy on Main Street, of which churches, believe it or not, are a very important part.
Isn't it war? Isn't siege the greatest form of war
yes.
to shut something down?
Right. This is World War III. Let me keep going. Why is it the average American has a cost of capital of 16 to 17% when interest rates are at 1%? You know, they're lucky if they get 1% on their bank CDs. But you're watching a huge number of the big companies that are picking up market share during this period, paying essentially almost nothing for their cost of capital, very much subsidized by the Fed's intervention in the markets in a variety of
ways.
Well,
that's it. They were ready. They were prepared. They launched it. They're consolidating
right.
control.
Right, exactly. Well, let me keep going. It was Trump who gave Microsoft the award for the DoD contract. You know, now Trump, I'm sure, would say it was a contract process at DoD, but we see huge contracts from the administration for the intelligence agencies into Amazon, huge contracts to Leidos, the former Lockheed spinoff from the Navy, and huge contracts from DoD.
Oh, Catherine, I was contacted by intelligence operatives inside the Trump administration 6 months ago, and they said, lay off Bill Gates. So I know that his lobby is inside the White House, and I think it's a real blind spot for Trump. He's obsessed with Bezos. I think Gates is worse.
Well, but I don't see Gates as the issue. I see the infrastructure as the issue. Because the question is, with Microsoft controlling that cloud and the injections probably hooking people up directly to that cloud, who has access to that cloud?
Exactly. It's the infrastructure putting all of our stuff out there in the world that's dangerous. Who cares who runs it? It's the fact that it's there.
Well, I would bet you a dollar that other countries have access into that cloud.
We know China has access into the Apple cloud.
I'm not sure, but.
But you're talking about the defense cloud. Oh, absolutely. They've got access.
Well, my concern is not China. My concern is Israel on that one.
Well, talk about it. Lay it out. Israel, yeah, they love to sell our stuff.
Right. So I just think the cyber, one of the big problems with moving to a digital currency is you heard the chairman of the Federal Reserve this week on a cross payment panel with the IMF say the same thing, that there are real concerns about cybersecurity and doing anything, let it alone depending on anything on this platform. And so that's why, you know, one of the pillars is big pharma. One of the pillars, obviously, is the bankers. But another one of the pillars is tech. And the tech guys are perfectly happy to take the global currency system and just throw it out there and play and, you know, see what you can come up with. Make it up as you go.
Exactly. You know, they're trying to force adoption of this just by randomly beta testing it on us.
Right. And the danger or the positive scenario, depending on who you're, you know, which side you sit on this is the, you know, what we're watching right now and what we've been watching since the going direct reset has been approved is an effort to extend and keep the dollar system going and then to accelerate the new system. Now, the new system to me is a transhumanist system. I want nothing to do with it. And of course, one of the possibilities, which I think is very likely, is, the new system doesn't come in and get integrated before the old system really spirals down and we end up with a real mess. And the question for every one of us is not, you know, how are we going to survive the system they're implementing? My question is, how are we going to build an alternative system when their system fails?
Yes, that was excellent. Next, we have Pachinik, Dr. Pachinik and Alex, and they're talking some really, really deep stuff about the coup possibly happening and so forth. Here we go next.
He gets between 20 and 50,000 people showing up. And I watch the videos all over the country. Joe Biden can't get 10 people to official big campaign events in major battleground states. But we're told he's way ahead in all the polls, just like we were told Hillary Clinton had a 97% chance of winning. New York Times internal polling algorithm. They have another name for it. It's called Bravo Sierra. or bullcrap. Horse manure. But you see, here's the key. They are positioning it to try to steal the election through the electronic voting machines. Just came out in Oregon that the machines can all easily be hacked, obviously for the Democrats. The 80 million fake ballots out there, they're intending to try to steal it straight up and then just have a decisive victory through fraud, have the media say that Biden is the victor, Trump will be locked down, all of us will be locked off any social media, any of the modern communication systems with the electronic straitjacket they've already tested and have prepared. So that if Trump tries to contest fraud, they will claim he's a dictator and a bad guy. They've already pre-scripted all of that. If they're unable to get such a tsunami of fraud over the American people, they're going to contest regardless and try to split the country up. And it's all financed by the globalist and communist China. And this really is the country fighting for its very existence, as Trump has said. If the United States gets Joe Biden as president, who's totally compromised as a Chinese communist agent on record, they are going to press the attack. They've already bought off most of the Democrats. They have them compromised. They will rule this country. And the ongoing sellout of our jobs, our industry, everything will accelerate. I mean, we're fighting for our lives. And they've got all these dumbed-down leftists and all these dumbed-down housewives, you know, who hate men and hate America, who believe that they're unhappy because of Christian conservatism. They are literally stomping around, frothing, cheering on China and their own destruction when Xi Jinping would throw them in a slave camp and harvest their organs so fast it'd make their fat asses spin. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
That was Alex laying it out in real general form. And next coming up is the actual interview that Alex had with Steve Pachinik. Here we go now.
Going to Steve Pachinik of stevepachinik.com. Also find all his books. He co-authored with Tom Clancy and his new ones as well there. I know he doesn't care about promoting that, but they're still great books. What the hell is going on here? Because the media won't show any of this, but now they say it's Russian disinfo. But the head of national intelligence says that's a lie. I don't care if the Easter Bunny came up with this stuff. This is Hunter Biden. He's compromised with the Chi-Coms and others. I don't see how Biden can even be a candidate when it's open and shut like this. I mean, I really feel the Republic is in peril, Dr. Pachinik.
Well, you're right in some way. But the other part that you and I have been talking about in terms of the Democratic Party, what you're seeing doing, it is constantly self-destructing. For several years now, I've told you that the Democrats have been self-destructing because you've had, they're too old. They're too old. They're too antiquated. They're too irrelevant to what's happening in this new era. In an era where we need a businessman who's never been a politician, who understands business. Sometimes he makes a mistake, but he knows how to correct it. I can't have an 87-year-old Dianne Feinstein who's worth $858 million. I can't have a Nancy Pelosi who's 80 years old and worth $35 million. I can't have a Maxine Waters worth $8 million and is 82 years old. In other words, what you're seeing here is Biden, what we said all along, he's the metaphor for what happened to the Democratic Party. Senile dementia. They eventually erupted and became literally senile demented. And in turn, they brought in some woman who happened to have spent most of her life, not in the United States, but in Canada, in Montreal, and claims that she is a black American, has no relevance to America, is not even black. And so what you see is the narrative for the Democrats is not only distorted, it's perverted. The Hunter Biden is the metaphor and the reality of what happens when you are in Congress or the House of Representatives or Senator for so long. This is what Biden really did. He did nothing except self-aggrandize, self-destruct, and at the same time lead our country into six wars, for which he's never been held accountable. Now is the time for America to start incarcerating these people and stop giving rationalizations.
Well, that's why I got you on, because I'm against police states. But when you've got a foreign power backing crazy people that are doing all this, saying they're going to cause a civil war, they're going to cause secession, at a certain point, I mean, they've got to be militarily dealt with, because That's what they're saying they're going to do to us. You've got all the Democrats saying when once Trump loses, they're going to come arrest all of us. Well, that's not going to happen. A civil war is going to happen.
You're correct. I mean, in the area where I am, the Second Amendment is enshrined. We have a Second Amendment free zone, so to speak. The rest of the country has become less and less irrelevant. As we said, the East Coast, the West Coast, the Northeast, all of them are irrelevant now. The power has clearly shifted down to Florida, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina. What we have now is the time for Trump, once he gets back in, not say Fauci's just stupid. What I've asked for 3 years is that he goes to prison and he be fired for insubordination. He's part of what we call a paramilitary unit, Public Health Service. You do not confront the President of the United States. You do not disseminate false information, and you do not self-aggrandize when you are part of a unit that is a paramilitary unit. There is no reason for him to be there. There's no reason for him to make $400,000. There's no reason for his wife to make $200,000 plus NIH. So Trump has to begin to act in a way, incarceration of Hunter Biden. It's criminal.
Well, you've been saying that for a while. So have I. He's been saying in every speech, I want them locked up. They're criminals. I want Obama. I want the Clintons. I want Biden locked up because they deserve to be locked up. The media goes, oh, he's crazy. No, that's the truth. But what does he do when there's a toothless Justice Department that is scared of their own shadow?
Okay. This is what we've been talking about for years. When I said, and you know, I can't blame Trump. He really didn't know who he was bringing in. But when you bring in everybody who'd been with the Bush administration, Christopher Wray, my God, went to Andover. The people at Andover thought he was a jerk, totally incompetent. I know that for a fact. Bush Jr., Bush Sr. went to Andover. Where did they go to school? Yale. What is Christopher Wray really doing? He's nothing but a pimp who self-aggrandizes himself, made a lot of money as a pimp lawyer, has no sense of what the FBI, and by the way, the FBI has to be taken down. How many times have I said this since 9/11? The FBI is totally against our civil rights. It's totally incompetent. It can't find anything. If you ask the local police force, in any county, anywhere from Montana to Florida, I've worked with policemen, and the same story comes across. The FBI is incompetent, useless, worthless. Get rid of them. We have Homeland Security. I got ATF. I've got enough federal troops to block any kind of secessionist movement that I predicted in state of emergency in a novel I wrote that would happen around Arizona because of the water rights. Now, what we have here is a chance for Trump to redefine what does incarceration mean. Get rid of Barr. Who in God's name uses a man who was a DI, an analyst at the agency, then converted to a DDO, an operative, then converted to a quote, a lawyer, but has always been loyal to the CIA? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I've said we've got 16 units in the CIA. Get rid of 80% of them.
Let's talk about what's about to happen in the next 2 weeks, because I agree with all of that. I know there's a bunch of different camps in the government, and the corporate system really wants to put Joe Biden in because he'll totally control him and loot the country. But obviously, anyone saying if there's any good people left in government, we need to stop this and put Trump in. This is crazy.
Well, it may be crazy, but the point of fact is what you and I said correctly. There's going to be ballot harvesting, and that is a problem for me. It's a problem for me individually and as an operative, because we do not know how many ballots have been harvested. And in 9 states, it's mandatory balloting. Washington, Oregon, you know, all the liberal states. So they can have all kinds of ballots come in. Personally, I would bring in the police force in every area to monitor what's going on, and I would bring, as much as I hate it, a national force, either the ATF or some other unit of the government, not the FBI. They're useless, but another.
Let's talk about this when we come back. Because America, stay there, Jenny. America is fighting for its life right now. Stay with us. And I get it. Doctor, doing a great job giving us background, explaining what's going on. It's all dead on. We know that. We appreciate it. I'm just sitting here 14 days out, and I get the Democrats are self-destructing. I get they're a bunch of zombies. I get that their emblematic logo or mascot is a person with dementia. So it just shows their total disconnect, their arrogance, their hubris. But still, I can have an anvil made out of steel with not one IQ point. I drop it on somebody's head from 100 feet, they're going to die. If the Chi-Coms and the globalists and these out-of-control corporations, none of them who are even in charge, they all just want compliant minions, throw Biden, this giant hunk of steel at us, or this dead body, whatever he is, you can drop a dead body on somebody from 100 feet, it'll kill him. It's still going to cause a problem. They're still going to try to execute. In a way, their ignorance is their strength, to quote 1984. The fact that they try to have a civil war, the fact that they have the chutzpah to keep trying all these coups, the fact that everyone bows down to them. I mean, you get what I'm saying? That it's like a mentally retarded automaton, and their supporters are like that. They just never stop. They never go away.
That wraps it up for this week on this first hour. The second hour is an interview that Charlotte Littlefield Brown and I had with Ted Gunnarsson, who headed up the FBI office of the L.A. office for years, and he had all kinds of investigations on the Franklin cover-up and other investigations concerning pedophilia and Satanism, but we're going to play that during this second hour this evening. But anyway, check that out. But what we're entering into is a very, very dangerous period for this country. And we've got to start digging deeper and deeper into what is going on. And it appears that they're going to protest and dispute the election results. And right now, it looks like President Trump is going to win decisively by large numbers, according to the turnouts that he's been getting. But also, another sleeper fact would be that many people that were polled were not telling the truth about who they were supporting because they didn't want to be harassed being acknowledged publicly as Trump supporters. And there's probably a lot of people that didn't put signs up, didn't put flags up, did not answer the polls honestly because they didn't want to be tagged and attacked by these very, very aggressive, left-wing, socialist, communist, revolutionaries, I guess, is a way that you'd have to explain it. We're entering into a very, very sick and a very, very violent and a very, very dangerous period. We just got to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and try to counter this and try to save America. I know that sounds corny. Let's get together and save the country. But that's really what we're talking about, is that this is the first really serious revolution that this country's experienced. And so we're in the throes right now of them consolidating it. But they have the backing of the media and the largest corporations that want to transform the country, it seems, into a socialist communist state for more effective management of it. And so that's what I see, and I've been explaining that for several years. Anyway, I want to thank each and every one of you in our listening audience, and God bless each and every one of you. Good night.